This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome onto this edition of the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown, man alive. I'm having a bit of a chuckle to myself. I can actually kick myself. I just did fantastic, probably the best introduction of a podcast I've ever done, and then realized I forgot to push record. So I'm having one of those days. I hope you aren't. But the good news is, at least I know it can't get much worse. So thank you so much for downloading and listening to the Kona Edge podcast. Thanks for being with me. And today I get to share another incredible story from another incredible age group triathlete. And we head to Australia. We go down under today to catch up with Crystal Hockley to find out a little bit about how she got into the sport of triathlon and discover more about her journey and some of her achievements. That's all coming up on today's show. Don't forget, if you haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, please do. It literally only takes you a couple of seconds, and it helps us out massively because iTunes, it's quite weird how it works. No one really knows how it works, but one of the big ranking factors within iTunes, and iTunes is the biggest podcasting search engine, it's like Google for podcasts, is rankings. So the more rankings you get and the more positive rankings you get, the higher iTunes ranks you in its algorithm. The higher it ranks you, the more times it gets put in front of people looking for triathlon podcasts, and the odds are better that we do get discovered that way. And we've seen bumps in subscriptions every time someone leaves us a review. So if you'd like to help us out and help us grow and keep doing what we're doing, all you need to do is head over to iTunes, click on ratings or review, and leave us one. Would be much appreciated. And if you leave us a review, I'll give you a shout out on an upcoming podcast. Okay, don't forget to leave your Twitter or Instagram handle as well, so that I can do that on social media and say thank you as well. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, it would be much appreciated. Enough about me yakking today. Let's get straight into our chat with Crystal. Listening to the Kona Edge, and we head to Australia now, to a short way out of Sydney, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Crystal Hockley onto the podcast. Crystal, welcome onto the Kona Edge.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
Crystal, let's touch in on your sort of history in the sport. Obviously, being an Aussie, Australia is very much like South Africa. We are hugely sporting nations. Have you been sporty pretty much your whole life?
I've always been pretty active. I've never really done any kind of running, cycling or swimming until about 4 or 5 years ago. But I was into horse riding growing up, and we lived on a farm, so I was always out and about and pretty active.
Were you pretty competitive as a kid growing up, or was it more like staying active just for fun?
No, I was fairly competitive. With my horse riding, I competed at a state level, and I did quite well. I actually competed in Pony Club, and I was pretty competitive and always pretty focused on trying to get the best out of myself. And yeah, so.
What has that background sort of taught you about triathlon, and how has it helped you in triathlon, do you think?
It's probably taught me a fair bit of discipline. Like I guess from a young age, I was pretty focused on whatever I wanted. Like if I wanted to achieve something, I'd set myself a goal, and I'd always be out there every day focused on what I wanted to do. I was never someone who kind of did the horse riding just for fun. I always wanted to have, you know, a goal, whether it was a competition or something like that. And that would always keep me motivated. And I guess that's transferred across to my triathlon as well.
When and how were you first introduced to the sport of triathlon?
So it was 2012, the end of 2012. I'd done a little bit of running, and I was bugging my husband to get a bike because I wanted to give cycling a go. And we actually met a couple who had just started triathlon, and we bought a bike off them, and they kind of talked us into giving triathlon a go. And by the end of 2013, we'd done a couple of Ironmans, and we were well and truly hooked on the sport. And it all kind of spiraled from there.
Did you sort of, was it always the idea to get into the long stuff? Have you always been attracted to the endurance side of it?
Yeah, I've always liked the longer stuff. Ironman's where my real passion is, but half Ironman as well. I'm not a big fan of the short fast stuff. So yeah, definitely the longer stuff's always been our interest.
What is it about the long stuff that makes it so attractive?
I think for me, like with an Ironman, it's there's a lot of different things that come into it. It's a long day out there. There's lots of highs and lows and just so many things that go into preparing for an Ironman. I think that's what I enjoy. And it's, just a good challenge.
Was the plan to be a one and done, or did you know you were going to be around this thing for a while?
No, definitely not a one and done. There's been a few times where we've gone, because me and my husband do it together, and we've been like, we'll just get to, you know, the world champ, 70.3 world champs, and then we might have a break. And then I think we were driving back from, the 70.3 world champs, because they were in Australia in 2016. And by the time we'd gotten home, we'd already entered Ironman Western Australia, and we thought, we'll just have a go, and we'll have a go and try and get to Kona, you know, 2017. And then, before you know it, we both had qualified for Kona. And then after Kona last year, we're like, nope, that's it. No more Kona again for a couple of years. And then, lo and behold, somehow I decided, I'll just go back to Kona one more time. And then I just qualified again, 2 weeks ago at Port Macquarie. So I'm going back there again this year. So, I think I'll stop saying no more.
I was going to say, don't you hate it when that happens?
Yeah.
Crystal, what makes this thing, and I'm laughing because this, and I'm sure everyone else is too, because this sport, it's crazy. Like, what makes it so addictive?
I don't know. I guess it's just that feeling of achievement for me, really. I just love being fit and active and then having a goal. I often say to people, like when they say, you know, you're crazy for doing what you do. And I think I don't know. I couldn't just go to the gym every day and train to be fit. It's just, I guess triathlon, you've got a goal and then you achieve something and then you want to go back and achieve more. So that's what makes it addictive for me.
Talk to me about life outside triathlon. Is there a life outside of triathlon? You mentioned you and your hubby do this together. Is life just about work and try, or is there something else outside of this?
At the moment, we kind of over the last couple of years, because we're so passionate about triathlon, we changed our lifestyle around a little bit just so that we could train and compete a bit more. So my husband started a lawn mowing business a couple of years ago, which gives him a bit of flexibility to train. And I also changed jobs. So I now work at a job that's fairly close to home and quite flexible. So we could take advantage of the training and trying to, I guess, achieve or get the most out of the sport for where we are in our life. But at the moment, triathlon is a big part, but we do try to keep a balance. I think that's important with triathlon. It can't just all be focused on triathlon. Otherwise, when that's taken away, you haven't really got much. But for us at the moment, I always try to make time to catch up with friends and things like that. And we live on a farm, so sometimes I'll, you know, go for a horse ride and things like that just to try and keep a bit of a balance. But at the moment, I guess triathlon is a pretty big focus.
you must have some interesting challenges. We chat to a lot of age groupers who are competitive, and we all know how much work goes into being a competitive age grouper, and they might not have a spouse who is into the sport or doesn't buy into the dream as big as they do, and that's a challenge for them. Do you find in your situation it's difficult to switch off from triathlon, that it's always there, especially having a spouse who does it with you and is good at it? Do you find this competitiveness amongst you all the time?
Sometimes there will be days where say I might be overly excited about triathlon, and my husband Josh, he'll just be wanting to have a switch off, or vice versa. But most of the time, it's pretty good, and we do try to take time away. Like, we'll, you know, on the weekends, let's just go to the movies and chill out and not think about triathlon for a little while. But I am, to be honest, pretty grateful that we're both into it, because I think it does make things a little bit easier for us to balance our life. And just the simple fact that we understand where each other are at, like if we're in an Ironman build and say, you know, you're a bit tired and grumpy and you get cranky with the other person, you're just like, no, like they'll understand where you're at, and it's like, just let things slide. So it is good from that perspective.
Tell me the challenges during a taper week. It's bad enough having one Ironman tapering in a household. What's it like having two?
Well, if either of us coughs and suspects that the other one's sick, then they go into what we call quarantine. So they're on the couch and the other one gets the bed. But we kind of have identified how we both feel in taper week, and it's not too bad. I mean, we both recently did Port Macquarie. My husband did the 70.3 and I did the Ironman, and we actually said to each other, well, I think we've got this taper week down pat now. And we both, managed to arrive on race day, keeping it all together.
Brilliant. Tell me about sort of your biggest challenge in the sport right now. What are you working on? What are you struggling with?
At the moment, things are coming together pretty good, to be honest. I can't really complain. I mean, I have spent a lot of time on my swim at the start of the year, and I guess that's something that you can spend so much time on it and sometimes not get that much of a gain. But up until, I guess, Port Macquarie, where I did see a fairly big improvement in my swim, that was probably my weakness. So, but at the moment, things are pretty even and are coming together nicely. So,
cool.
Chris, I can't complain.
Talk to me about the allure of Kona. I mean, you mentioned that first Ironman experience, and then the 70.3s, and then Kona. What makes the Big Island so special? What's the attraction to racing there?
Kona's just the energy, and it's just amazing. Like, you know, you arrive there in race week and you can just feel the excitement, and everybody's just so passionate, and everybody, yeah, there's just so much excitement. That's probably the thing that I enjoy the most. And you don't really get a sense of calm until maybe race start, when the gun goes off and you just have that day where, you know, everyone's out there, but you've just got your own little piece of the race. And it's just, it's a pretty awesome experience. Last year I was running that I'll remember for the rest of my life. I know there's not many people out there that get to go to Kona, let alone go to Kona with, you know, their husband. So that was pretty cool for me as well.
Talk to me about the race itself as an experience. I mean, doing an Ironman is one thing, and we all remember our first Ironman, but the first race in Kona, there's something special about it, particularly because of who's around you and what it is. Tell me about your experience.
My first experience for Kona, it was pretty good. I guess like everyone else, I was scared of the swim. You never know what's going to happen. But to be honest, I really enjoyed the swim. I guess I'm not a strong swimmer, so probably middle of the pack, and the swim was great. The bike, once again, I was a bit worried. You know, everybody talks about the winds in Kona and the heat and everything like that, but I think I was lucky enough I didn't have too much trouble with that. The run, that's it's definitely something that I like. It's crazy. The first part of the run, you just I was feeling okay, but the back end of that run, it's definitely you don't really have much control, except you're just trying to get yourself to the finish line as quick as possible. And for me, that, you know, it's from aid station to aid station. And yeah, it's definitely a crazy race.
Do you feel like you've got unfinished business on the Big Island?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely have got some unfinished business, so we'll see what happens this year.
If I could wave my magic wand at the end of your sort of triathlon career, when you decide to eventually hang up the wheels and hang up the dry suit, what would you have wanted to achieve in the sport?
I'll be going back to Kona to try and this year to, you know, win or be on the podium. That's the goal. But then, yeah, moving forward, we'll see how I go at Kona, and I might take the next step and look at getting my pro card after that. So, and then we'll just go from there and see how good I can get. I don't really have an end goal at the moment. If 2 years ago you'd have told me where I'd be right now, I never would have believed you. So, I'm just taking it 1 year at a time, see where I end up. So I don't really have an end goal.
Crystal, what are you most proud of up to this point in your triathlon career?
Probably overcoming some of the things that I overcame at the start are probably things that I'm pretty proud of. Open water swim for me was a massive thing to overcome. I remember when I first started swimming, I literally would be crying on the side, on the beach, not wanting to go into the open water. So I was so scared of open water swimming, but I was so keen to do a triathlon and to race that I just had this battle in my mind between overcoming my fear and then wanting to do something so bad. So that's something that I'm pretty proud of in the beginning. And then I guess probably my second proudest would be my race in Western Australia in 2016. That was kind of my first Ironman race that came together, and that was a pretty cool feeling. I'd been working hard for a couple of years, and then just to get that race and for it to all fall into place, that felt amazing.
You talk about taking it year by year, and then that Western Australia experience taking a couple of years to come together. Is this, for someone who's getting into the sport and wants to qualify for Kona and wants to be the best they can, is this a long-term project, or is it something that you can, as I said in the beginning, one and done, get it out of the way first year and go and find something else to do?
No, it's definitely will be a long-term project. I guess for me, I'll be doing it as long as I can and see how good I can get. I'm pretty lucky in regards to haven't really had any setbacks with injuries or anything like that. So I've been able to train fairly consistently over the years, and I keep on improving. So I figure why not, you know, see how good I can get and just take it year by year. I think if you focus too much on, you know, a goal in 5 years' time, you don't enjoy the process along the way. So I'm just, like you said, taking it year by year.
Crystal, what's the sort of best bit of advice that you've ever been given about triathlon and about Ironman in particular?
Something that my coach, my very first coach that I had said to me is, keep it simple. Things don't need to be too complicated. So that's probably something that I've always kept in my mind. And it's just, he just said, you know, consistent training is what will get you the results. And I believe that that's probably a pretty good piece of advice that I've been given.
I think that's consistency is one of the big things that pops up all the time when I chat to age groupers who are pretty successful. What's the, other than consistency, what do you think is the key to being a successful Ironman and being able to qualify and race in Kona?
I think also finding a good coach. that's something that I think you need to find a coach that you believe in, and obviously a coach that believes in you. That's something that I think's another key. And also having balance too, like getting, I mean, Ironman training's not super balanced, but, you know, keeping some type of balance in your life between training, friends, you know, family, and sleep as well. Sleep and nutrition, super important, as we all know. Yeah, so that's probably another key.
Crystal, as far as sort of newbies getting into the sports, what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out and trying to find their way in the sport?
I guess probably the best advice would be to find like some people you can train with and get some advice off if it's a local club or a good group of people to train with. I think that's probably key, and just go out and have fun. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. I think some people, when they start out, they put a bit too much pressure on themselves. They've got to achieve this or achieve that. Just have fun with it to start off with and yeah, go from there.
You mentioned your coach. Did you decide to get a coach from the start, or is that something that's come with time?
No, I started in at the beginning of 2000 or the end of 2012. And then I had a couple of months where my husband had a coach. So I kind of just did his sessions. And then I started in 13 and I was with him for 3 years. And then there was a little period there where my husband coached me. And then I started with my new coach in March last year. So I've pretty much always had a coach that's been guiding me, and I think that's so it's worked well for me. I think it's pretty important.
For you personally, what do you look for in a coach?
Someone I guess that you can talk openly to, and that you can bounce ideas off, and that you believe in their philosophy and they believe in you. That's probably the most important thing. I get a lot, from having conversations with my coach and him telling me what he thinks I'm capable of. And so that's, pretty important for me.
Talk to me a little bit about the sort of, you talk about the honesty and the open relationship, being able to chat. I mean, that a coach will tell you that they need to know exactly what's going on with an athlete. Is that something that's come pretty easy to you, or is it often people will, I mean, a coach gives you a session and you might not be coping, but you feel like you have to? Talk to me about that sort of communication with a coach and how vital it is.
Yeah, it's definitely very important. Over time, I've gotten better with it. Sometimes I tend to just kind of go head down, bum up, and not even acknowledge the fact of where I am or what's going on with my body. But in the last 12, probably even more so the last 6 months, I've become a little bit more in tune and tried to be a bit more open with the communication in relation to exactly what's going on. So I definitely think it's really important. And I think, just learning to know when to push and when, things might not be right and you need to take, skip a session or have a rest day or something like that. And then being able to communicate that to your coach as well.
What's been the biggest mistake you've made in your triathlon career?
Oh, that's a tough one. Can't think of one.
I say biggest mistake, maybe biggest mistake / disappointment. And the reason I ask is what did you learn from it? Like what were the lessons that you've taken out of that?
Okay. Oh, I'm trying to think of that one. Oh, you put me on the spot. Well, last year I was a bit annoyed at myself. I usually get regular bike fits and I don't know why, for some reason I wasn't feeling comfortable on my bike for probably a good 4 or 5 months. And then I went back to see my bike fitter and he actually told me that my seat had moved. A fair amount, and he moved me back into the correct position. And I said to him, I'm like, oh, I can't believe I left this so long. And I was just, my head was so buried in training. And I as soon as he put me back in the correct position, I was like, oh, I should have done this months ago. But that off the top of my head, that's probably the you know, most recent mistake that I've made.
Crystal, talk to me a little bit about training where you live. You mentioned you live on a farm, and you said when someone's getting in the sport, you'd suggest that they find a group of people to train with. Do you do most of your training on your own, you and your hubby, or have you got a group that you train with?
It's mainly just me and my husband. So we live in a pretty good area. We've got what have we got? I think we've got two pools. So I've got one pool that's about 300 meters from my work, which is quite handy. And then another one, which is about another 5 minutes. And then we don't really have any squads in the area. Most of the squads are about in Newcastle, about 40 minutes away. So we tend to, just basically do a lot of training by ourselves. And then occasionally we may catch up with friends on the weekend for a bike ride. But it's just sometimes it's easier just to, you know, head out the door and we either train together or do your own session. And I quite enjoy training by myself. It definitely makes racing a lot easier and a lot more exciting, because when you get out there on race day, you've got all these people around you that, you know, you're not used to, and it makes it easier. But, mainly just us two.
And Crystal, you say it makes it easier too. Training on your own also builds mental strength. And that's one of the big keys to being successful in an Ironman as well, is having that mental fortitude.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. That's one thing I think, you know, when I head out, especially on your long bike rides for Ironman training, I think if you can go and do 5 or 6 hours by yourself, then, definitely builds the mental strength and makes it somewhat easier on race day when you've got people around you to push you along and other things to focus on.
Absolutely. Well, Crystal, it's been great catching up. I look forward to talking about your individual disciplines, but we'll save that for next time out. Thanks for your time today on the Cone Edge.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for having me, Brad.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Cone Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Cone Edge.